If you've not already fallen in love with the music of Frédéric Chopin, now is the time to unleash your Chopin obsession. And I say that because Chopin Obsession is the title of a new album recorded by pianist and composer Marina Arsenevich. And she's here with the details for us. Marina, thanks for being our guest on Classical Conversations.
Thank you for inviting me, and thank you for a proper pronunciation of my last name. I have been called Arsenijevic and many other ways of pronunciation. Thank you very much, Mary. But you being I've realized you being a pianist and also studying some theory, right?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, you have a very good ear for pronunciation and understanding.
Thank you. Well, I've certainly not studied piano to the extent that you have, and not quite the performance experience, but I do love a good piano album. So I've been very excited to talk to you about this. And I know it's designated as a Valentine. So that suggests to me that maybe this is music that's very personal to you. Is that the case?
Yes. And I have said, be my Valentine, Frédéric Chopin. And one of my agents said, oh, so we should do it for a Valentine's Day and dedicate your love for Chopin, and he can be your Valentine. You know, being an artist, you always have to find a specific voice of expression. And me growing up in former Yugoslavia and now Serbia, where we went through, every generation was affected by either World War or a Civil War. I personally had a different outlook on classical music, and then I started to compose my own music inspired by the classics. And all the composers in early 19th century outside of Italy, France, or Germany have been fighting for their national identity, being occupied in the case of Chopin by Russia, and they had that big, I would say, November uprising in 1830 to 31. They all had to leave their homes. That happened to me too. I left my home after a very brutal civil war in former Yugoslavia. And although I tried to use music as a common ground for understanding, to show our common humanity, I have not been able to fully express myself in my own country. So most of us had to leave who could to start creating somewhere else. And that happened to Chopin. Chopin left to France, and most of his work was created outside of Poland. But I felt in every one of his composition that cry for home, loneliness, melancholy, and also that fight for right. And it somehow parallel with my life, and my understanding of Chopin might be a little different than other pianists who didn't experience war, who didn't experience leaving the country, who didn't experience their loved ones being killed, fighting for freedom. So if you talk about, let's say, Rachmaninoff came to the United States, and his most the biggest masterpieces were created in the United States. So that's how I approach work of Chopin, rather than going through a strictly pianistic or virtuoso technical way. I approach every one of his pieces through almost like a story of his life, and I can feel not only nationalistic or whatever you call it Polish moments in it, but also his nuances in thinking, and you know, every one of these pieces is like a little miniature of a piano piece. So yes, I covered most of waltzes. You know, just I believe just 8 of them were published while he was alive, The rest were discovered, and even he was saying that most of his work, like Fantasy and Promptida, became one of the most known after his death. Even he suggested not to be published. They were published. So the first one in 1855, and he died 1849. And then I'm working now even a volume two, Chopin Obsession volume two, which will have his mazurkas and polonaises and nocturnes. So yes, I guess ever since I was growing up, Chopin was my love. And here in the United States, I was able to record and assemble 16 pieces to an album. That's why I called it Obsession, Chopin Obsession.
I'm interested to hear more about some of the ways that you try to build that common ground through your music.
Well, I did by combining diverse melodies and rhythms with the elements in fight at that moment to show how much we have in common. Let's say to traditional music through songs that we grow up. And so therefore I use that the different Muslim music and Christian and put into one and show how much we have in common. And that's how I created my album, Balkan Soul, or Tesla Rhapsody, inspired by Nikola Tesla, who was also like me, Serbian American, living in the United States. And I didn't feel he was enough understood while he was alive, even though he gave us almost everything in modern technologies we have today that is based on remote control, since he invented alternating current. So yes, I use the traditional music and melodies from diverse ethnicities to show the common humanity. And that's what I mean, Chopin was fighting for his own Polish national pride outside of Poland. So I guess me being Serbian in the United States, we all have something that we want to project, but also combine with let's say American jazz and blues to be closer to the understanding of a regular listener.
How have audiences responded to that approach?
Well, very interesting, because they all could find the peace of their soul in music. And they all can find a piece of their sky in that music. And I think if you approach from a familiar angle, from something that's familiar, you can easier introduce the new elements. Nobody invented a Hot Wheel, so we all can, be inspired and use from the sources existing. And classical music now, you can say, even let's say the concert that I did, and it was on PBS, and I had a concert with the West Point and the Glee Club called Unity Through Diversity, where I combine Rhapsody in Blue, Gershwin, Franz Liszt Rhapsody, and the Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen, so modern. So you can say that Freddie Mercury is the classics of this new popular era. So we have all these phases, and we build on the basics of classical music, which I now use for actually a musical that I'm first time writing, called Life of Tesla. And the Tesla Rhapsody is a basics. I use the basic melodies that I use in Tesla Rhapsody for the Broadway musical, and I'm collaborating with the opera composer from the Royal Academy of Music in London. So you see, the things takes you in different directions. If you want to, if you have a mission of expressing certain elements, not just technicality of compositions, but to explain the world around us, and if you want to explain, like Chopin, he wanted to prove his own national identity away from Poland.
That's a really interesting lens. And I wouldn't mind hearing more about some of the emotional nuances through the album. I know you mentioned there was a set of waltzes, and maybe you could just talk about, some of those nuances or emotions, even emotions that you experienced as you played them.
I would say that if you go to, if I talk about ballad in G minor, that was even used in the movie The Pianist when a Nazi soldier found a Polish Jewish pianist during the war alone, and he gave him piano and he started playing the Chopin ballad. I think why that was why that resonates because Chopin did compose this ballad 3 years after he left Poland and arrived to France. So that deep feeling of resentment that you can't do anything in your own country, that deep feeling of cry, melancholy. I would say also fighting yourself. That's all what I felt. And that's how I try to express musically everything that I feel in his little motives, little he even used specific harmonies to express them. But Chopin, as you know, was also inspired by Beethoven. And if you're talking about Fantasy Impromptu, he even used the same harmonies like C sharp minor of D flat major. And it's almost the same. You start Fantasy Impromptu, C sharp minor. Beethoven Moonlight Sonata starts the first and third movement. And the second movement is like a middle part of a Chopin. So he was deeply, as I say, you build on what is existing, and he added his own, I would say, ethnic motives in his compositions. So that's how I interpreted it. That's how I found myself in his own music.
What are your feelings now about Serbia? I know you mentioned like relating to that crying out. I know that's probably a complicated question, but what's your relationship with your homeland?
Oh, it's very interesting. I have never, I'm married and I still keep my last name, Arsenievich, even though you all guys have a trouble pronouncing. So I never stopped being who I really am inside myself. And I try to connect to the motherland as much as I can. And even PBS special that was on air for 10 years, I combined my own music inspired by living in the Balkans, including Serbian melodies. So I could say I have never left because the music was always with me. And then the interesting thing happened in 2018. So what is this now? 6 years ago, I was invited back to my homeland, and I was knighted. So you can call me Dame. And so that was highest award by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs for the spreading the culture and tradition throughout the world through my music. So that tells you a lot. So I have never left, but I accepted United States. It's something that really give all of us freedom to express ourselves in whatever we wish. And if you're talking about entrepreneurs and musicians and artists, we all were able to still keep our own identity and spread the wings. So yes, I have a good relationship, very good relationship with Serbia now.
Good. Well, we're very excited to share this album. I think it's going to be such a gem for our listeners. Is there anything else you'd like to say or share about it?
I would say that that I have comprised 14 of the Chopin waltzes, which I believe are the most important in his waltzes opus. Some of them, just eight of them, as I say, were published, and the rest were posthumously published. And two of them are the most known, as the Minuet Waltz and the C-sharp minor. And they were used in today's even vaudeville and popular music. And even I will use some of the melodies in my own Life of Tesla musical. So I feel that rather than going through, as I say, technical side of a virtuoso side of Chopin music, I really like to tell a story of his life through the lens of someone who also had to leave the homeland, who also went through all the emotional trauma and maybe nostalgia too, because Chopin music is also nostalgic. So that's how I could explain my interpretation of Chopin, and I hope the listeners will find it maybe different than they have heard Chopin interpreted. But one more thing, that we are now in an era of social media and streaming and stuff. So Chopin came out the album on all the major streaming platforms on the 16th, and it reached over 3.3 million streams. So I was quite surprised, but I guess listeners love Chopin.
Yes. Well, thank you, if I may say, Dame Marina Arsenevich, for your time. And maybe we can connect again for Chopin Obsession Album 2 and some of your other projects. That'd be great.
Oh, yes, thank you very much.